Derek, I know that you are a spiritual coach, that you have trained everyone, top executives in Fortune 500 companies, as well as artists and people in the entertainment industry. And basically, your goal is to help us walk a more empowered, purpose-driven path in show business, but also in life in general. And you are definitely a great source of inspiration, because this entertainment industry seems to be filled with a lot of limited beliefs. And one of the things that I love about you is that you see a possibility for the entertainment industry that is pretty amazing. And I read about it initially through your book, There's No Business Like Soul Business. And this is actually your third book. You're a best-selling author. This is a book that I highly recommend to everybody. There's No Business Like Soul Business. But you share in that book a vision from the entertainment industry that is so inspiring. So why don't you just maybe tell us a little bit about your journey, if you will, but more importantly, about that vision that you see for the entertainment industry.
Sure. First of all, I just want to thank you all for being here, and what an honor it is to be here, Jesus. And, you know, just in the first 15 minutes preamble, you know, with your story about your son, and I felt like I was already on the Oprah show. I was crying. I was inspired. I mean, you know, there's tears rolling down my face when you're telling me about your son, and then your story with Katie, and or Kate, is it Kate or Katie?
I think it's Katie, but...
Katie.
Yeah, and I'm just like, wow, I'm already very inspired, and got my time's worth already out of the call. So I just want to thank you for that. Those incredible stories. My journey with show business and soul business, it originally really cracked open. I think I told you, Jesus, when I had what amounted to a near death experience while doing a movie in Jamaica, and I started to slowly pull out of the business, and eventually was going to become a monk. And then the monkhood wasn't quite right for me, and so I was going to become a minister. And at some point, the Spirit spoke to me and said that your monastery and your ministry is the movies and media, and you need to go back. And when that happened, I was sort of gifted with a vision of the entertainment industry, and it's sort of the origins of storytelling and entertainment. And the first thing that came through was the definition of entertainment itself, and that is that the actual definition, most people think, is merely to divert or amuse, divert our attention or amuse our senses, and that is one part of the definition. But the other definition of entertainment is to contemplate or consider an idea. And when you put those two aspects together, you have the diversion part. It diverts or amuses our senses like a child, while an idea is injected for deeper contemplation and consideration. And it can't be monitored by our judgmental mind because our senses have been diverted. It's kind of like that spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down, or when you bring a child into the doctor's to get a shot and the nurse, you know, has a little storybook or a little rubber ducky or does something to divert the child's attention while the doctor injects the medicine. And the ultimate potential of entertainment is when our childlike senses are diverted and engaged through the quote-unquote entertainment part, then the deeper message or idea can slip in and for deeper contemplation and consideration in our soul. So that was the first realization, is that this is an amazingly powerful medium and tool that absolutely can transform us, and that has its roots, you know, in ancient parables and around the tribal fire and myths. And it was created, it had its genesis as an instrument of inspiration, education, and transformation. And the entertainment industry and this mass distribution system is ultimately, I believe, and this vision showed me, that its destiny is as an absolute transformational agent on the planet. And then the second thing is, which is a universal truth, but it's very powerful in the entertainment industry, is that all the limitations that we experience, all the isms and the beliefs that are out there in the business about what's possible, what's not possible, who you have to be, what you have to know, who you have to know in order to make it, are just beliefs, and most of them are limited beliefs, and ultimately have no power over us when we choose to tear up that contract that we've made, that unconscious agreement we've signed off on what's possible and what's not possible. And then we ultimately open up the possibility for truly the miracles you're describing to be a commonplace in our walk in the entertainment industry and also in our everyday lives. And the fact is that even as real as these experiences and these limitations and these obstacles seem, what it really comes down to is that a lie believed acts as truth until it's neutralized. So what we're experiencing is all the limitations and obstacles are not, we're not experiencing reality, we're just experiencing our belief about it. And that's really the first step, is recognizing that and then beginning to uncover and uproot those limited beliefs. Then we can begin to literally rewrite or write a whole new script for our story in the entertainment industry and in our life in general. So that's just the first kind of phase of it all. I hope that answers your question, Jesus.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I love it because you bring to our awareness the fact that we are the writers of our own script. We're not only the stars of our own movie, for sure, but we do have creative control over that movie because we are also the directors and the writers of that movie.
That's right.
Most people are probably not aware, and at times we just walk through it without being fully aware of it. And only when you know that that's the case, then you have the choice to take control. But
that's right.
If you don't think so, then of course things are going to happen to you, and you're just going to be, cutting the drama of life, so to speak. And
absolutely. So
I think the entertainment industry is such a wonderful reflection of who we are, what we are about, and the entertainment industry in that sense, used with consciousness, is such a wonderful way to share light, to share love. I think that you know that I was inspired to become a filmmaker following the steps of the spiritual teachers and spiritual masters that use storytelling as the best way to share a consciousness. And those are the people that truly inspired me. And I believe that if Jesus or Buddha would be with us now, probably they would be filmmakers, because there is no more powerful way to tell a story than through film, and that's probably the most effective way to reach out to a wide audience. Now, having said so, these calls are open to people from all walks of life. I know that we have a lot of people that are not in the entertainment industry, people
right.
that are creative and people that just want to contribute, whether it's through the entertainment industry or in any other way. So why don't you just address this question about how creative people can actualize their full potential, and what would be the process for anyone, regardless of being in the entertainment industry or not, to use
sure.
their creativity, their gift, their talent, and to just put it to service to basically manifest the highest vision for themselves and for the world.
Absolutely. And one of the things is one of the metaphors I like to use is the metaphor of the acorn. And within the acorn, the oak already exists. So often we've been taught and indoctrinated into a belief that we're lacking some things and that we have to go out and get them and, get the right people, get the right, tools, get the right stuff and fill ourselves up and complete ourselves in some way so that we can create the thing we want to create. And it's really the opposite of that. The Secret taught us about the law of attraction and all of that, and it's beautiful and it's true, but one of the problems I have with it is it still has within it a subtle sense of us being separate from our good, and we're trying to attract it to us like a magnet. And I've actually coined a principle that I call the law of emergence. And the law of emergence is that really the truth is that everything we could ever need, want, hope for, desire is already within us. It's already a part of our consciousness. And rather than seeking to attract anything to us, we really need to have a realization of what we already are and allow it to emerge from within us. And to me, there's nothing to attract. The same way that the acorn isn't trying to attract bark and root systems and leaves and all that stuff to try to make an oak. The oak already exists within the acorn, the full capacity, the full potential, the full intelligence, the full pattern. And when the acorn is planted in the right conditions, the oak naturally unfolds. Now, what's incredible about human beings is that we actually, rather than being indigenous like an acorn, which has to be planted in the right external conditions, we are, as Ralph Waldo Emerson said, endogenous, meaning that we carry the conditions within us. So wherever we're planted in our life, geographically, historically, whatever, we can create the right conditions within us for that acorn or that seed of potential to unfold in its full capacity. The whole idea, the whole divine oak tree of our destiny is already within us, and we can create the right conditions. It doesn't matter where we live, it doesn't matter how old we are, what color we are, what side of the tracks we were born on. None of those external conditions matter one whit, because the whole potential to create the weather and the right soil and the right conditions for that seed of potential to unfold really are all within us. And one other little thing I want to say, and there are certain steps, obviously, to activate that, but the very first step is the realization and the acceptance that that's true, or at least the willingness to believe that it's possible. If it's a stretch right now to believe that's true, the willingness to believe that it's possible is the first step. And the other thing is to realize is that another thing that movies like The Secret or a lot of the New Thought type of stuff about trying to manifest our dream car, our dream house, our dream relationship, our dream whatever, is that it does tend to get us very much into a material state. And you said something very beautiful in the beginning, Jesus, about that. And that is that one of the places we get stuck is we're so focused on trying to manifest something externally. And when we can't get it to show up, we get frustrated and challenged. We wonder, why can't I make that job show up or that money show up or whatever? And it's to understand that life is really not so much about what we get or what we accomplish or what we achieve, but about who we become along the way. And so it's not so much about being a star, it's about being a light. And so one of the things that we have to always be aware of is whenever we hit a roadblock or an obstacle or a challenge, rather than first going to how do I overcome this or how do I manifest this or how do I make something happen, instead, my prayer is always, God, Spirit, more than I want to change anything or anyone, more than I want to change my circumstance, I want to awaken to the truth that makes me free. I want to realize who and what I really am, that truth, as Jesus said, that truth that makes us free. And that's really a big shift, because it shifts us from trying to control our environment and trying to use God to get more stuff in the world to using everything in the world to get closer to God, closer to our spirit, closer to who and what we really are. And so it's not so much about manifesting anything in our life. It's more about awakening to the life that we already have been given by the Spirit. And that's a tough one, you know, because we want what we want, and we want it now, you know, usually as human beings. But ultimately, the greatest freedom is releasing our desire to try to make stuff happen and opening rather to the desire to awaken to what's already happening and to who we already are. And when you, and as you shift to that space, what you find is that you are gifted with these insights, these realizations, and you do begin to see who you really are. And you realize you're not merely a human being stuck in some situation, but you are a much grander, much more incredible, infinite and magnificent expression of life. And as that awareness shifts, as you start to see who you really are and what life really is, that consciousness begins to clothe itself in form. Consciousness always precedes form. So as you have a shift in consciousness, automatically and effortlessly, your circumstances start to take on the tone and the tenor and the vibration of your consciousness. So that's really the next big shift. So first you have to accept the possibility that everything you need is already within you. You're already whole and complete. You showed up with everything you need. You showed up complete. And then the second step is recognizing whenever you find yourself trying to make something happen or change your circumstance, stopping and instead intending to wake up to what really is, with a capital R, rather than trying to change your circumstances. And then in that awareness, you will have insight and realization of who you are and why you are alive, of the vision of your life. And then that realization will become compelling right action, and it will clothe itself in new circumstances and conditions.
Oh, goodness. Derek, you know, when I read your book, and it's so beautiful, I imagine, my goodness, Derek must spend hours to try to come with such beautiful words. But then I hear you talk, and it's you, and it's so beautiful. And that's what I love about you, that you are so anchored in consciousness, and you are so articulate expressing it. And I completely resonate with everything you're saying. You're talking about intent, which is what I was talking at the beginning. And I think that a lot of the programs, self-improvement, personal development programs, are about reprogramming our mind without the understanding that before we reprogram anything, what is truly important is to deprogram ourselves, to become aware of those programmings that are running our life as if they were the software of our lives, and realize that we are the programmers, and that we can deprogram those by becoming aware of them. And once we do that, and once we release and let go, is that the space is created for us to really discover our true nature. And from that point on, just anchor our highest vision. I have to tell you, Derek, I'm so glad that you are going to be a guest in our upcoming retreat. And I'm sure that everyone is appreciating your words and seeing the quality that you bring to this conversation, where it's just not about what do I want and the four steps to make it happen, but it's about anchoring that consciousness that allows us to raise our energy vibration so that, in fact, things can happen miraculously and effortlessly. By the way, I just want to take a couple of minutes with your permission, because if anybody is not aware about the retreat, you guys can go and check the information and read more about Derek as well at loveempowerment.com/retreat.html. This is an opportunity for all of us during a weekend, two full days, to go in depth in this conversation and to find practical ways to put it into practice in our lives, so that we can all be this light that Derek is talking about. We are already the stars of our movies. We are already the stars of our lives. And stars, by definition, are light. But we can only be that light when we are aware of it, and when we understand this connectedness and this consciousness that Derek is sharing with us, and when we understand that everything is within, and that we're whole and divine, and that it's not about what is that we want, but more about what is it that we want to give, what is it that we want to share. And from that space, things happen. Giving and receiving is the same. I have experienced that in so many cases. And so thank you for bringing this awareness to us, and for, you know, our conference, teleconference series is about beyond the secret, and that's what I feel you bring to this conversation, just going beyond the secret so that we can not be so caught in our little egos, our little me, and think about the big picture and the big possibility. By the way, you know, I always like to make the whole retreat very enticing. So for anybody that wants to go to loveempowerment.com/retreat.html and sign in today, Saturday, this is only for today, Saturday, okay? I will make sure that you not only get onto the retreat, which it's $195 if you sign alone, or if you sign with another person, it's just $145. So it's really very affordable. But aside from that, and aside from the fact that you have the 100% money back guarantee and all the perks that you can read on the page, I will send you two gifts. Michelle Blood shared this beautiful gift with some of us last week, which is called Mission Possible. And it really talks a little bit about what Derek is sharing with us and finding ways in how we can discover our purpose and how we can live our purpose, basically. And he interviews the filmmaker of The Secret, which is this guy. His name is Drew. He's very inspirational, 26-year-old, very wise man. And that is a double CD program. I will send it for free to anybody that signs in today for the retreat. And on top of it all, just because we were talking about not turning back and how it's been such an inspiration to Katie, I will also send a free copy of Not Turning Back to anybody that signs in for the retreat today. So, Derek, you are going to come to this retreat, and why don't you tell us a little bit, because you're going to have your presentation on Saturday evening, and I know you're going to be talking a bit about this, but I wanted to know if there is anything else that you are going to cover for the people in the retreat related to this. I mean, let me tell you that one of the things that comes very often with the whole secret thing is people don't know if it's right to ask for things. People don't know if that's appropriate. And actually, I did get a long email this last week from Julia that I think is on the call from Maryland talking about it. She says, you know, I think that our place is not to ask for things, because I think that's kind of egoic. It's just to be present and to let spirit guide us. But at the same time, how can we effectively set an intent that can help us manifest those things that are important for us at some level? Because ultimately, abundance in career, abundance in finances, abundance in our love life is something that is important for everyone. How do you walk that path in which you are releasing, letting go, surrendering, if you will, and at the same time, consciously setting an intent to manifest that which may be your heart's desire?
Sure. It's a really good question. And the first thing is, I mean, in a very, very general sense is we have to really learn to just relax around this stuff. Because the bottom line is if on one day, you know, we just feel the need and the desire to pray or set an intention to manifest a new car or manifest some more money, that's okay. And if the next day we realize we really want to go deeper, we want to, you know, really just go deeper into our spirit, that's okay. And if the next day, you know, we're back to really needing to manifest our rent, it's okay. And we really need to relax around all of this, because we really start to mess with our mind a lot, especially when we start to realize that our thoughts are powerful and, you know, all this stuff. And you start to just walk around really, really messing with your mind a lot and going, oh, my God, am I thinking the wrong thoughts now? Am I going to manifest the wrong thing? Or is this my ego talking or my spirit talking? Or should I be thinking about manifesting a car right now? Or is that really not very spiritual? And we really do play a game on ourselves. So the first thing is just take a deep breath and just relax. And you are where you are. And wherever you are is absolutely where you're supposed to be. And if you need to manifest your rent money, do it. You know, it's like if you have a headache and the prayer is not working, take an aspirin. You know, you don't have to be so hard on it. We don't have to be so hard on ourselves. That's the first thing. But the other thing is that there are four basic stages of spiritual growth and development. And they can be broken down as follows. The first stage is to me. And that is where we feel like life is happening to us. We feel like we're a victim to life. The second stage is to it. That's where we realize we have power, we have control over it, over life, over our circumstances. We can affect or impact our circumstances. So it's to me, to it. The third stage is through me. That's where we realize we are an instrument of life, that rather than it happening to us or us happening to it, life is happening through us. We are an instrument. And so we begin to say, use me, life. Use me, spirit. Thy will be done. And then the fourth stage is as me, we realize that we're not merely the instrument, but we are the thing itself. We are the life and the light itself that is using us as me. When Jesus said, you know, when Jesus was talking about, you know, it is not I that doeth the work, but it is the Father that doeth the work through me or as me, he was in the through me moment or the through me stage. When he said, I am the way and the life and the truth, he was in the as me stage. And he vacillated between those two near the end of his ministry. So we have those four stages, and we can vacillate through them at different times. But what's important to know, and it's very, very important, you know, in the to it stage, in that stage where we are learning that we have control over life rather than life having control over us, it's very important that we do the work to embody that stage. A lot of us in the spiritual world, we want to try to jump into the mystical states and the walk on water states and the totally saying God's will be done and all this stuff, and we have not yet embodied the second stage of realizing that we have the power. And what happens then is we get stuck. We've missed a stage of our development. And I went through a period of that where I was trying to go to this deeper stage spiritually, but I was trying to be a light in the world, but I couldn't pay my light bill. And you can't be a light in the world very easily if you can't even pay your light bill, because you're walking around talking about truth and all these things, and meanwhile, your life is kind of falling apart, and you lack, first of all, inner credibility and inner integrity, but you also have a hard time, you know, people look at your life and saying, if this is so real, what, you know, why are you struggling so much? And so it's very important that we don't try to rush the stages. If right now we're struggling to pay our rent, then it's very wise to work on mastering the power to manifest, mastering the tools of the secret, mastering the tools of manifesting. Because once we realize I can manifest whatever I need, then we are very easily able to let go of the need to manifest. If that makes sense, then we can move into the stage of surrendering our will and saying, okay, I know that I can manifest whatever I need. I'm going to let go of that now, and I'm just going to say, thy will be done. More than I want to make anything happen, thy will be done. And that was one of the temptations Jesus went through when his ego came to him and said, you can have all of this, turn the bread into, you know, turn the stones into bread and all of that. He knew he could do all that. So he had to go to the next stage, which was letting go of his will to try to make stuff happen. And but again, it's important that we don't try to jump over that stage. So if right now you're at that stage of needing to work on manifesting and stabilizing your structures, getting your money structure stable, your health structure stable, your relationship structure stable, that's beautiful, and you should be apprenticing under those different structures. But it's important to remember that the end game of life is not to get the right relationship, enough money, a healthy body, and the right career. Those are all just the beginning planks that lay the platform for you to really launch into your great mission and purpose. Once you get all those things in order, that's the beginning of your journey. That's like the real beginning. Now you can really put all your attention on here for your spirit, here for God. And you're not worrying about getting your relationships and your money and all those things in order. But in the meantime, doing the work you need to stabilize those internal structures of abundance and health and relationship is absolutely important and is absolutely necessary. And there are the tools like The Secret and other, you know, manifestation tools and processes to do that. Is that
beautiful? Yes, yes. And, you know, when it comes to manifestation, which obviously is the stage that you were talking, again, you were so articulate about it, explaining them, I think the one thing that is important is to not be attached to the outcome. This
Absolutely.
Is what I... is the source of so much suffering and struggling for people. In other words, you set the intent and you let it be, knowing that whatever it is and it's going to be fine. The moment that you are attached, the moment you are worried what's going to happen, the moment that you get caught into that, then it really doesn't matter if you manifest things or not. You're going to live a life of suffering. And I can tell you that firsthand. I mean, I was blessed with being in a family with where manifesting was a common thing. My father went from, you know, from starting in a company, from the bottom of the company to basically running the company himself. And it was a wonderful role model. And myself as an actor, I started my career, and very young, I was basically in Venezuela. Actually, Katie was reminding me about that because his sister-in-law apparently, you know, remembered those years about 12 years ago, I guess, when I was in Venezuela starring in the number one TV series and enjoying everything that you can imagine in life as far as finances and as far as love and as far as success by traditional standards. And yet, I was miserable. I really was miserable, and I was still caught into, well, the show is not a good quality enough. Well, maybe if the show would be of good quality, it would not be number one. I mean, we get so caught in wanting more, and so attached to it that then we just set ourselves for suffering. So manifesting is great, and the tip is just not get attached to the outcome so that you can enjoy the journey and see it as a process, which is what Derek was talking about. Well, Derek,
I was going to ask if I could just speak just one moment to that really quickly, because it's a very important point you're bringing up. And because people say, well, how do you make clear and specific intentions without being attached to the outcome? And I just want to say that there's a difference between being specific, which you want to be, and outlining exactly what it should look like. For example, you can specifically intend to manifest a relationship that is full of love and respect and, you know, health and harmony and order and all those things. You can be very specific about the quality of your relationship you want to manifest. But then if you say, and I want it to be Tom or Joe or Joanna or Lisa or that guy right there, then you get into trouble. Because the thing about it is who we are right now, we don't really know from the ego standpoint what is for our own good. Who we are to become is not yet here yet. So we can't ask for what we really need, because once we get what we really need, we're going to be a different person. And so we can't pray from the person we're going to be. So we have to be specific, but we don't want to outline it. So we leave it open to the infinite possibility and the infinite potentiality of what is possible and what really needs to come through. And oftentimes it won't be exactly what we expect or what we are looking for, but it will be exactly what we need, not only to get what we want, but to become who we really are. So I just wanted to make that little distinction that, yes, you can be specific, but you want to keep it qualitative. And you don't want to be outlining and saying, I want that job right there, or I want that part right there, or that person right there, or that house right there. But you can design qualitatively what your house or your home will be, or what your job will be, in terms of it'll be full of respect and creativity and genius and love and support and all that. But it may not be that job at that exact place. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. And these key distinctions, I think, are the ones that sometimes we miss when, I don't know, we see The Secret or other manifesting tools that you were referring to. And those are the distinctions that we're going to be talking about in length at the retreat. And I'm so blessed that you're going to be joining us. The retreat, by the way, just again, as a reminder, loveempowerment.com/retreat.html. And if you sign in today, you get a special gift from me, a copy of Not Turning Back, as well as Mission Possible, which is a gift donated by Michelle Blood for people that join us in this retreat. Michelle Blood would be another one of the guest speakers, and Nick Arandes, that is going to come next after they talk to us, will be also with us at this retreat. I would say that we have time for one question. So anybody that has a question for Derek that is such a well of wisdom, by all means, you can unmute yourself by pressing 6. And the first person that do so and ask a question, that will be the one that we can address right now at this point. So anybody?
Hello? It's yes. Katie. Hi.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Derek, as you said, you had tears streaming down your face. I've been sobbing for the past 45 minutes.
Oh.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Not only have I been blessed to have met with and spoke with Jesus, but now I have been introduced to you. Everything you said was so poignant, and I want to ask you something.
Sure.
You are so articulate with words, and they're so beautiful. When you were describing the four stages to me, to it, and then number three was, what was number three?
Through me.
Through me. And then as me.
Right.
When someone is stuck and you were saying, you know, we don't have, some people think we don't have the right to ask for something and so mm-hmm. on. If you really feel in your heart that you want something and you've been working at something to obtain that, and it just seems like it's impossible to achieve, and it mm-hmm. has been impossible,
mm-hmm.
where do you go from there? If that's a legitimate question.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I want to say is that desire, the word desire, a burning desire means of the sire, S-I-R-E, or of the father. Mm-hmm. So when we have a burning desire, that is the proof that it's already within us, because it's literally the thing itself speaking to us. A desire, a true desire, is not something that we want to get. A true desire is something that is within us trying to come out. It's literally calling us. It's trying to come out. It's of the Father within us. So that's the first very assuring thing, is to know that that burning desire is something that's already within us, or we could not feel it. We literally could not have that feeling.
Right.
The second thing is that usually all our efforting to try to make something happen is the very thing that is creating the resistance to it unfolding. Because in all of our trying, whatever we're trying, there is often an underlying belief that we don't have it, that it's not happened, that it isn't so already. And that underlying current of I don't have, I'm not yet, it's in the future, is literally creating the experience of it always being somewhere in the future, or of us not having it. So it's, we do already have it, but it creates this overlay of an experience that we don't. The third thing is that one of the questions when we're struggling with something, if you remember what I talked about, how rather than trying to make something happen, we ask the question, we say, you know, dear spirit, more than I want to change anything or make anything happen, I want to wake up to what really is. And when that becomes our intention, we move into a place of surrender and also a place of revelation. And we begin to see what we need to see in order to move to the next step, because it is already there. And one little addition to that is that one of the things I like to say is, if this was as good as it gets, if this was it, if my life physically wasn't going to change, what qualities would I need to embody in order to be in absolute joy, peace, bliss, confidence, and fulfillment? If nothing was going to change in my life, what would I have to embody right now to be in heaven? And then allow for whatever qualities begin to emerge, that right there becomes your work, to begin to move into a place of that joy and that ecstasy and that confidence and that happiness, independent of circumstance and outcome. And then once you do, that consciousness, that quality, is literally the open sesame that will allow for your desire to manifest effortlessly. And because you are you release all resistance, and you literally become the answer in consciousness. So those are some very powerful questions that you can begin to ask to get yourself unstuck.
Wow. Thank you very much. That was incredible answer, and I will absolutely apply them. I can't wait to meet you on the retreat.
Oh, likewise.
Thank you, Derek.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Katie, for your question. Thank you, Derek. It's now 11 o'clock right now. What a privilege to talk to you. Not too long ago, I had you on our TV show, The Love Show, and what an inspiration now I have in this call. And I'm so excited and honored to have you on the retreat as well, July 4th and 15th. And again, just last time to talk about the retreat, go to loveempowerment.com/retreat.html. You go directly to the page for all the information. But if you are interested in Derek, first of all, he's written this brilliant book that will inspire you whether you are in the entertainment industry or not. It's called There's No Business Like Soul Business. And it's so filled with truth that you can only just resonate with it, because something will be awakening within you that will say, oh my God, that's it. Like probably some of you felt when he was talking today. And he has founded Enlightened Entertainer. And I believe that your website is enlightenedentertainer.com. Is that correct?
That's right.
So you can also go and visit him. And thank you all for being in this call. Thank you for,
Thank you.
We said at the beginning, your commitment and for staying so long. And for all of you that have stayed so long, I have a special gift. And so if you send me an email and you tell me that you were on this call, otherwise I won't know because I only have phone numbers as a reference, I will send you a book of poems that I wrote called Surrendering to Love. And it's a book that was inspired by my beloved Susanna, but it truly is inspired by the beloved that is within all of us. And it's just poems, but hopefully they will touch you and they will inspire you and they will awaken you further into the possibilities that really exist in your life as is right now. Thank you, Derek. Thank you, everyone.
And thank you, everybody.
Like Derek says, Gandhi said, be the change that you want to see in the world. And Derek and I say, be the love, be the joy, be the peace that you wish to see in the world.